Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Oh, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 109 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and I am joined today by Christian Hoffer. Megan Peters is off doing other things. So we have just the two of us today. And yes. Normally, when it is just the two of us, we usually have a good time and we agree on things.
Yeah, I was about to say, we don't have to be mean to each other, Oh, man. So how was your community day, Jim?
I had a pretty good community day. Rankin was in the chat hanging out with me, which was great. I got two shinies. I probably could have gotten more if I played a bit more, but I got two, and I was able to evolve, and I got a decent enough one to go and evolve it all the way up. And so I'll take it. No hundos, in general, no regular hundo or shiny hundos, but, look, for 99 cents, I'm in. We talked about this. That is a great price for community days, especially for Pokemon that are harder to get.
Yeah, no. Game. I really enjoyed the Gibble one. It was cracking me up. Like, they didn't turn down the, Gibble.
Catching Gibble is a pain in the butt.
Gibble is a chompy little dude. And like, I could not get the timing down on, when I'm chucking Pokeballs at this stupid, little land shark, usually like the animation for when it does its little attack animation, they're usually a little bit shorter. So like I can time it. So like, it's like, okay, he's attacking. That means he's not going to immediately attack again. And so like, usually that's how I like time things, on the attacks. And, like his animation, even though the animation length is about the same, like the stupid circle doesn't pop up for like maybe like only like a quarter second, and so I was messing up the animation. So yeah. I probably wasted like 50 Pokeballs on that alone.
I was almost embarrassed on the number of Pokeballs I wasted yesterday, because it was rough. And so, but I got it. I did see that people were like, I guess people had not seen what a shiny Garchomp looked like. And so, we're just, upset, about the colors. And look, we have our opinions about shiny colors and stuff on the show. We have complained our fair share about that as well, but, it is just,
everyone, I think I've said this before. Anyone who is complaining about shiny Garchomp will be eating crow when Mega Garchomp comes out, because shiny Mega Garchomp is one bad. I can't use the word because this is a family friendly podcast. But yeah, no. I saw that one and I didn't realize that people were that upset about. I was like, really, this is what we're complaining about? There are so many bad shinies out there. We're complaining about shiny Garchomp. Okay, well, let's go and talk about shiny freaking, Venusaur, which is just slightly more green, Venusaur. Like, I don't know. Well, we've got a decent show today.
Yeah.
You know, not no big news like we had last week, but lots of little news coming out. I'm going to call an audible though, and you know, we were going to go and talk, have a decent segment about some anime stuff that came out over the weekend. But I think, you know, I would feel bad if we talked about that without Megan.
That's true.
Okay. So we're going to replace that with the thing that you had mentioned talking about. Oh,
perfect.
About.
Cause that's what I was going to suggest. Okay. So I was talking about, I was thinking about this over the weekend while doing the community day. Mm-hmm. And I have come to the realization that I overthink gifting in Pokemon Go quite a bit. And it's one of those things where, look, when I'm in New York, I don't think about it as much. Well, mm-hmm. actually, no, I lied. I do. There are so many more Pokestops, you know, per square mile in New York that, like, when your buddy goes out to collect gifts or whatever, they're from a wide variety of places, right? And they're all whatever. Here, I have nothing but churches around me. And so all I get are churches that okay. for gifts. For that are nearby. And it's not that I'm not religious, but like I definitely have friends who definitely aren't, and like those are the only gifts I can send them. And so I was like, so sometimes I'm like, oh crap, I need to send this person like, you know, a church gift or whatever. Like, what is that person gonna say? Or like when I'm at New York, when I'm in New York and I get, you know, like a bunch of like either like random art installations or playground stuff, or when I'm in the city, you get a bunch of stuff. And so like, I'll send them to people who I'll save those and send them to people who I know have lived in New York and have left, New York. Like mm-hmm. I'll send them like the fancy ones that as like, nostalgia thing, you know, kind of things. But yeah, I don't know, like I think I just overthink it. Like I want you 100% the gift I send it. To someone to be you know, to be cool, I guess.
I mean, well, that requires you to be cool, Jim, so you know that's wow. problem one. But no, you 100% are overthinking it. Let me tell you about my how I send gifts. Step one, do I have even any new friends that I can send a quick gift to get that easy XP? Number two, do I have any friends that are close to moving up to the next tier so I can get that XP? Mm-hmm. Number three, who is the person that is closest to becoming best? I'm closest to becoming best friends with so I can get that XP. That is my gift. You know, basically that is my how I do gifting is, you know, it is all about the XP grind. And other than that, I don't care. I will say I've been slacking something awful on my gift giving, and it's been impacting yeah. my chase for shiny Mew because I've been a lazy bum. And, you know, you need to send out 151 gifts. And that is so tedious. So I haven't been doing it because I'm just like, you know, I'll get around to it eventually. But since we had, Gibble Community Day, like the day before, I was like, oh, I need to go and like finish up these gifts. I was at like 1:30. And so I was just like, you know, chucking gifts out left and right in order to get to 151 so I could start on the catch 30 of every type of Pokemon, because I could get Gibble, you know, dragon type Pokemon out of the way if I, you know, could do Gibble Community Day. So now I only have one really pain in the butt type left to catch, and that's steel types, which, you know, it is hard for me to find steel types in the area that I live naturally.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be some event that will do steel types, but there's just not as many steel types as there are a lot of other types in the game. I was about to say, there's not a lot of dragon types that are easy to catch, and there's not a lot of steel types that are easy to catch. Oh, that's a good point. Melmetal opened the mystery box, and I actually got that. I got that set up, you know, with Melmetal, or, you know, it's not Melmetal, it's
Meltan,
yeah. I can use Meltan because I went and transferred a shiny Gibble over to my Pokemon home the other day. Raids do count, but, you know, that requires me to do 30 raids. I was about to say, you know, I don't live close to a gym. Like, I do live close to a gym, but it requires me to walk, and I'm still trying to get used to the concept of leaving my house. Sad personal story. I may have a little bit of PTSD from this whole pandemic thing, because going out in public, like, absolutely terrifies me.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. If we had a sad trombone noise playing, we could thrown that in there for comedic effect. Yeah. Let's see here. What else do we got to talk about today? We have a bunch of Pokemon trading card game news. Jim's got actually had, and did you open those packs on
camera? I did. I opened them on stream. Rankin got to see some of the other ones I got.
I as soon as Jim, does a card opening without me, he starts getting good cards. I guarantee that any card packs that we open this week are going to be absolute trash. But actual Pokemon trading card game news, real news.
Okay. You go ahead and do that while I open up this pack.
Yeah, I'll run through it. We had three bits of trading card game news. The big one is Pokemon, they have a corporate page that they kind of update like their overall production numbers about once a year. And they did a big update and they revealed that in the last 12 months between March 2020 and March 2021, so literally during the pandemic, they printed 3.1 billion cards.
That's a lot of cards.
That is not only a record, but that is just a ridiculous amount. Like,
So it was funny because I mentioned this on the stream yesterday that it seems like the production rate for Chilling Rain is bigger than normal. Now this is a bigger set, right? Like, it is coming with all the, your standard, deck stuff and whatever. But just in some of the shops and stuff that folks I've spoken to and whatever, don't seem to, like, they have no allocation worries or anything like that, that, like, this one may be an easier set to get.
Well, I do remember that, we've been talking about this for months, that the Pokemon company is trying to increase their production orders. And we knew that was going to take time. So I think this is the first set that we're really seeing that, because what was it? Was it earlier this year? Was it really early this year? Was it late last year that they announced that, we're having production issues because of COVID, but we've increased our initial order. So I'm guessing that, we're finally starting to see that take effect. Although over in Japan, they're still having major issues. Like, they're doing random lotteries online to give away product to sell product, because that's how much in demand these things are. So the new Eevee set is, really bad.
Well, I mean, it's an Eevee set, right? So I totally get that one, right? Like, if that set went, or when that set inevitably makes its way over here, is going to be a serious hot commodity for sure. But anyway, Target started to sell Pokemon cards again.
Yes, that was going to be my second bit of Pokemon news, was that Target is selling Pokemon cards once again. It was
was that whole thing performative?
I don't think it was. Like, I think that, they needed to come up with a company-wide policy before things really got out of hand, because a lot of, different stores were doing different things. That was the problem. Like, some stores were saying, all right, Fridays are card days. Stand out in line. We're going to let you pick out two card packs, and Friday is card day. And other stores were just like, go freaking nuts. And also, I think that they needed to figure out how to handle this whole scalper thing. I do think it was a bit of an overreaction. I can say on an anecdotal level, because I asked about it, at my local Target, and they definitely had scalpers who were like running into the store and following. They apparently followed whoever the person that puts out the card stock on, and they had people that were just like following him around. Like, they knew who they had, like, basically cased the joint, figured out what employee usually puts out cardstock, and then on Friday just like followed the guy around until he went into the back to pull out the cardstock. And they're like, this just isn't cool. Like, he didn't feel safe.
Yeah, no, that's like, you know, incredibly.
And so,
don't,
you know,
like, don't be that guy. Right. Like, OK, people, don't be that guy.
Yeah. So, you know, Jim has switched over to card opening mode.
Card cam. All right.
Fire. I can never.
Peonia. I have no, I can't either. Yeah. Fire resistant gloves. Crabominable.
That's a common card. Wow. Porygon.
Porygon. Heracross.
That's a cool looking card.
Love to see our Beetle Boy back. Meditating Sobble. Squovit Butt.
Oh, man. Inkay. Inkay.
Reverse Holo Castiform. And it's like one of those toy photograph ones that I love.
Oh, everyone loves those.
And Gallade.
Well, so, still a cool looking card.
Still a cool looking card.
Did I ever tell you, like, a few weeks ago when a few months ago when Battle Styles came out, like, I managed to get my hand on some of those cards, and I did a draft for the neighborhood kids. So we opened up the packs. I pulled out all the cards that, you know, were expensive, and then I let the, like, kids, like, choose, like, one by one, and we did, like, a snake draft where they each picked out what cards they wanted, and, like, one of the girls was only pulling the, like, toy cards. So it's really, oh, really? Like, first like four picks.
All right, here we go. Leaf.
Okay.
All right.
Corellia.
Fog Crystal. Brawly. Ghastly. Ladybug. Another Porygon. Swirlix. Sneasel. Reverse Holo Seviper. That's a cool looking Seviper.
This card, the card art, they've really stepped up their game.
Yeah. And Holo Cresselia. That's a cool one.
Yeah, it's another cool looking card.
Yeah. Woo. Look at that. All right. We'll do one more and then we'll get back to business. Here we go. All right. Fighting. Porygon 2. Raboot. It's a cool Raboot. Scroll of the Skies, Furfru, Diglett, Larvesta, Inkay, Rockruff.
Oh, another cute one.
Reverse Holo, Aaron, and Sawsbuck.
Okay, well, cool, so like one. I said, you know, you a second that I get involved, and yeah.
it just goes totally south. Oops.
Well,
didn't mean to turn my camera off.
Jim just, you know, Jim just disappears. Christian's going it alone.
All right. We'll do some more afterwards. Is there any more trading card game news we need to talk about? Otherwise, we
can There is one more bit. So we found out a little bit more about the 25th anniversary set, which it's still kind of, we don't know a lot about it, like what it's going to entail. However, it seems like the actual set is going to be pretty small, because the actual 25th anniversary set booster packs, which this is going to be kind of like Shining Fates and stuff like that, where you can't get like the sets just on their own.
You won't be able to get boxes of boosters or things like that.
You can only get them in like box sets and, you know, tins and stuff like that. They are the actual 25th anniversary booster packs that come in all this product will be mini packs, so containing four cards instead of 10.
That's cool.
Which is odd. Like, you know, so I'm a little bit curious what that means for, you know, how big the set is going to be. Like, you know, it can't be more than 30 or 40 cards, you'd think. Like I said, I'm curious, like, what are they going to charge for these things? Like,
yeah. That's what I wonder too. Like, what if they, do you think if they started charging a premium for some of these sets, that would that, I don't think that would deter anybody. I mean, it would probably deter a casual player, which is not the person you don't want to deter. But at the same time, like, does it make sense for them to start a higher tier level aimed at collectors / scalpers?
I'm starting to wonder, like, just based on the sheer popularity level of the Pokemon trading card game, like, I fully expect some point this year that Pokemon will overtake Magic. You know, there's a couple of reasons. One, Magic got hit really hard by COVID because, you know, Magic moves a lot of product during their organized play, and they haven't been doing that for the last year. And also, Magic's got Magic Arena, which they say has not been cannibalizing sales because collectors and who plays Magic Arena are two totally different things. But, you know, I think there's a little bit difference. And so I would not be surprised if we start seeing more secret. I mean, we're already kind of seeing it over in Japan, you know, because they're releasing this Pokemon trading card. They're releasing Pokemon Center exclusive content, which has like alternate art, has, you know, different types of product, like, you know, like different card sleeves, different things like that. So I would not be surprised, to be honest, if we start seeing like, you know, like basically the equivalent to secret lairs for the Pokemon game. Like, I'm becoming more and more convinced that we're going to see that here.
Yeah, but those secret lair cards don't hold any real value.
They do and they don't. I mean, I think it really depends on, like, they're fantastic looking cards.
I mean, they're cool cards, right? Like, I look at the some of the most recent sets, right? They did a Bob Ross one and a Walking Dead one, at least, you know, to my recollection. And like, if you wanted to go pick them up on eBay or wherever, like, they're not that expensive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're cool. I think the thing that I haven't seen, though, is I haven't seen any of them graded. And so I wonder if that maybe changes things.
I have to say I'm not super familiar with like the Magic the Gathering secondary market like I am. Yeah. Pokemon secondary market. I'm assuming obviously there's some.
It has one. I think there's Magic puts out way more cards per set that makes it you know, generally with Pokemon, you get two or three cards that break out as like the thing, but you also get a lot of cards in like the $10 to $20 range as well. Yeah. Right. And then everything else is basically just worthless. Magic, the gap is much farther, at least from what I've seen, where, you know, the rare cards are very few and far between, and everything else seems like, you know, they're more like in the $5 range than anything else. Oh, not necessarily like, you know, anything more than 30, 40 bucks as new sets come out. And so I'm sure they appreciate, right? But like, none of them have that same rush that the Pokemon cards get.
Yeah. Okay. I get, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. I get it.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 60 seconds and we'll talk more Pokemon.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I do want to mention on the trading card front, because I did see some folks pointed out. Yes, Logan Paul did wear a Charizard out to the ring last night. And, you know, as soon as that happened, I just saw my timeline on Twitter just like explode, basically. He wore one of his BGS 10 first edition Shadowless Charizards out to the ring. As a necklace.
You know, I don't have anything nice to say about any of that. Although, you know, anyone who paid money to do that. You know, kind of deserves what they got. You know, it's funny because Roland, our the gaming editor, he I pointed out, like, I knew that was going to be something that, you know, needed to be written about today. And so I threw it in Asana, and he's like, it's probably about time to write about that. And I was like, I was dealing with D&D stuff, you know, breaking.
Yeah, we hit it last night.
Did we guys hit it last night?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, yeah, well,
at least it should be.
Well, if not, then anyway. I will write it. it's coming.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say was, so that was that. It's always interesting when like stuff like that happens, right? Like people just talk about the, the prevalence of Pokemon in pop culture, right? And like how that has, what kind of effect that has on just like everyday stuff. And so like, it's cool to see, you know, of course it was Logan Paul. And so like everyone rolls their eyes a little bit and, it is what it is. On the flip side, more positive trading card gang news. There was a kid who, in an effort to raise some funds for a vet bill, sold a bunch of his Pokemon cards, and in turn, the Pokemon company sent him some cards back. As the news got back to them, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that
was the feel good and bad human interest story of the week, where it's like, you know, this the kid went viral. So basically, what happened was the kid, his dog had Parvo, which is a virus that requires some pretty expensive treatment. Like I think it was like $700 or $800. And so, you know, they were trying to figure out how to take care of their puppy. And so the kid went to school and started selling his Pokemon cards like outside of school. And so his mom was, you know, set up a GoFundMe and then posted a picture, was like, hey, you know, like, we obviously love this dog and look what my kid is doing, you know, to try to raise money. And like, you know, I don't think realistically, I think like the kid, you know, the kid ended up making like $70 off of selling Pokemon cards to other kids. But, you know, something that he should, you know, in a fairer world, he should have never needed to do. And so the Pokemon company went and found out about this and sent him like 6 theme decks and Battle Academy. So, you know, not replacing the individual cards he lost. But, you know, he's like, I think he's like, I forget how old he is, but he's pretty young.
Just a cool thing.
It all worked out. The puppy is okay, and they raised so much money, they're actually going to give the excess money to help other pets in need. Awesome. Yeah. So that's I was very happy about how that all worked out. So nice little feel good story. If you want to feel good about the world for once. So let's see here. What else do we have to talk about this week?
Slowpoke event starts.
Slowpoke. So tomorrow, Galarian Slowpoke, Galarian Slowbro, and Mega Slowbro all come to the Pokemon, to the Pokemon Go. Sound like a, you know, OSU football player there. Let's see here. So let's run down this really quick. We're getting a collection challenge. Obviously, the big thing is new Pokemon, Galarian Slowpoke, Galarian Slowbro. You have to Galarian Slowpoke will have an interesting evolution format. You need to catch 30 poison type Pokemon when it's your buddy. I really like that Pokemon Go is starting to switch things up a little bit. We're getting more and more of those Pokemon that just, you know, they don't evolve normally in the games. So, you know, they're finding, getting creative instead of just going, yep, 50 candies, go forth and do this thing. That's cool. Let's see here. Slowpoke, Slackoff, Gulpin, Spoink, and others will all be appearing more often. Galarian Slowpoke is only appearing in 1-star raids. One-star raids, and let's see here, what else? And also, if you complete Some field research, that's how you get Galarian Slowpoke as well. So, you know, a little bit difficult. Yeah, and there's also going to be a collection challenge, so that'll be nice. And you get a Slowpoke Forever shirt, whatever that is. I mean, I'm all for it. Slowpoke is a personal fave of mine, obviously.
Well, I just sent Richard a thing for him to pull some photos of, because on that we can't talk about Slowpoke and not talk about something that finally the Pokemon Center in the States and Canada are selling.
I totally forgot about this. I totally missed this.
Life-size Slowpoke that is $450 available now at the Pokemon Center.
A good use of your money, clearly.
Look, if you just got your tax return, there you go. Head on over to Pokemon Center.
Slowpoke. You know, are you getting your child credit? You know, go. Oh man, I'm terrible.
Richard, just a little more time. He's going to let us know when he's ready. You guys have to see this thing. This thing is massive. And it's one of those things where, look, right? Like the Snorlax thing, I think inevitably ended up coming to America, but more as a beanbag, and less as a giant plush. We never got, I don't think, did we get Longboy Meowth, Galarian Meowth?
I think we did.
Oh, did we?
I know we got one of them. I don't think we got the life-size one. These life-size ones are really hard to justify, you know, because they cost a lot of money.
Are they hard to justify?
I mean, for the U.S. Pokemon centers, yes.
All right, Richard, let's show it up on screen. There it is. Look at that thing. It is enormous. And for those who are listening to the show, I forgot also to mention this while we were doing the cards. Richard, do you have the back view of this one? That if you are listening and want to watch the show live, look at that. That is just, it's so big. If you want to watch the show live, we do it live on Twitch, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond. You can see a lot of the things that we talk about here and see and do. Otherwise, if you want to see what we're talking about, we have stories on all of this stuff available at comicbook.com. So always got to remember the people who are listening, because at first, before we started doing this live streaming thing, they were the ones who were here first, and they're very important to see. There you go, Calder. Buy Slowpoke Plus, cut off tail, make profit. So there you go. Okay, so all right, let's move on. Okay. There's a pretty big gaming event this week.
Yes.
E3. Yes. Probably not going to get any major Pokemon news.
Probably not.
Sorry to be a downer, folks.
So, you know, if we are lucky, we will get a new trailer. So let's do the caveats here.
Yep.
We will probably get something Pokemon at E3. We have gotten something Pokemon almost every year, dating back to, I think, 2013. So literally I always joke that always joke because, you know, I started writing about video games because of Pokemon. And, you know, like, so E3 was, yeah, I always just joke, oh, E3 doesn't really matter to me because we never cover Pokemon stuff during E3. And yet, we actually have gotten Pokemon news every single year. But it probably won't be anything huge. They will acknowledge the fact that we are getting Pokemon games. We may get a new trailer of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. But that is about it. So, you know, if you're expecting more than that, such as, and in the comments, we already have somebody going it, but we better have a, Gen 9 announcement. And like, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
Those things don't come at E3 from Pokemon. Like, I think if anything, we may get some, like you said, dates and a trailer. And like,
yeah, well, we might get Pokemon Unite news. Even that.
Man, is that game in trouble, or do they just not care about that game?
It's not marketed for people for here in the U.S. You know, it's being developed. It's being developed, you know, by Tencent, and, you know, it's going to be huge in, not here in the United States. Like, I think it will be a game that exists in the United States. Like, it'll do fine. But, where it's really going to make its bread and butter is, China. China
Color 27. Pokemon Sleep is about to become like the new Pokemon Snap for us, right? That's going to just be the game that we have to keep talking about to will it into existence.
It would not surprise me if they realize that Pokemon Sleep, there was just no interest in it. Oh, new Pokemon
Christian, Snap. This is a company that greenlit a toothbrushing like app for children. You're not going to greenlight Sleep?
I don't know. Like, fair.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I think the hope is that we get something. I mean, we're probably coming up on another Pokemon Direct relatively soon. In the time frame of the games that we know are coming and of stuff that is definitely, of potential on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And so we just got to be a little more patient. And to that point too, Nintendo also doesn't usually do anything big or major at E3 too. They are participating this year.
That's not entirely true. They've done some big announcements at E3.
They don't regularly do it though, right?
So the difference is unlike other, they have had an E3 thing every year where they announce some big games and they do stuff. I think part of it is it will be going on 3 years since we did, had a normal E3. But the big issue, they do a treehouse. They usually, more gameplay stuff. They don't do the big presentations. They have a Pokemon Nintendo Direct. When you compare that to you've seen how, Sony, look, we have a full orchestra, to do announcements. And here's the Killers to announce, The Last of Us Part 3. We're going to make you real sad this time. That's the sort of, announcements that they do, people expect at E3, and Nintendo Direct's like, here's this 40-minute video that we had our video department cobble together. Enjoy. People don't think of it as as big of a deal. E3 will be running next week in Lightbird PokeFan. So Nintendo's thing actually will be a week from tomorrow, June 15th. They are kind of closing out the presentations, but Sony, Xbox, a bunch of other studios will be, doing stuff all throughout. I believe it starts Friday. Saturday. So we get stuff Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We'll be all there. Announcements. People are like, Nintendo Switch Pro news. I'm hoping. I think thing that's...
How great would it be if they announce the Pokemon Switch Pro and then announce that Legends will be a game for it?
No,
because I think that's the 1-2 punch that I think would make a big, great announcement. For E3, what a game to go with, right? Like if you're going to, if all the rumors or whatever are correct in the sense that, it's going to be 4K and upscaled and whatever, like why not go with Pokemon's first open world game kind of thing to really show off, what this machine can do.
I think I'll be buying.
Calder makes a good point that I can't see them alienating everyone. I think it'll be both. I think you can get you'll be able to get, an upscaled version for the Pro. Like you stick the game in and it knows which one it needs to run. I think it's going to be both. But so anyway, that's our E3 preview. Don't expect much, but maybe something. All right, Chris, you want to give us the Pokemon fact of the week?
Yeah, sure. So Sentret, we're doing our Sentret, you know, we're continuing our trek through the Johto Pokedex. Mm-hmm. So we have Sentret. You know, the interesting thing about Sentret, there's two facts, one about Sentret and one about Furret. The Sentret fact is Sentret, you know, as their name suggests, they literally have a sentry who kind of keeps watch over them while they sleep. So when packs of Sentret go to sleep, they actually designate a Sentret to serve as a sentry to keep an eye out for danger. You know, just a little goofy fact. I mean, Sentret's kind of their thing is they stand on their tails. It makes a lot of sense. You know, so it'll, yeah, you know, so it's kind of a kind of an interesting thing. And then the other one is that, you know, Furret is actually a carnivore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Furret hunts Rattata, which, you know, if you think like it's a weasel, or maybe it's a, but no, it's and yeah, that's the other thing. So like Sentret is a long Pokemon. It's like 6 feet long, but they like talk about constantly. It's like it can like, you know, squeeze into very tiny places. So it's one of those weird Pokemon that you don't think about until like, because all of it's like, yeah, it can squeeze into really tiny places. Like, well, no one gives a crap about that. And then you see how long the damn thing is, and then you're like, oh man, that's really creepy. That's actually really freaking creepy.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, Sentret is a, or Furret, excuse me. Furret is a big, big Pokemon. Like, they do not do justice in the games.
I'm going to say, like, how do you hide a thing like that? Like, you can't hide a thing like that in tall grass.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's because it can compress really well. Oh, it's all fur. Yeah. It's all fur.
God.
So, yeah. So, you know, just some mildly creepy information to kick off your
Somewhere, some PG-13 or R-rated Pokemon show just, you know, opens with a kid stumbling upon a ferret feasting on a Rattata. And it's just like, whoa.
Oh man. Well, terrifying. Yeah, so there you go. Furret eats Rattata, you know. Whew. Just a rodent on rodent violence there. It's establishing its superiority, you know, as the superior rodent Pokemon. Well, that's all I got.
Yep. I think that's all we got for today. We're going to talk about Poketoons next week because, you know, that is something that, we know Megan, as she covers the anime pretty intensely, that's something we definitely want to talk about with her there. So we're going to skip on the tunes today. I will say, go watch them. So that way next week you can come back and we can talk about them. And yeah, other than that, we'll get through some of the end of the episode business. So, like I said, best way to support the show, obviously, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Sometimes we read them on the air. I'm actually now checking now to see if we have any new ones. I think we did. So maybe I'll pick one out to read today if the internet loads. Otherwise, other ways to support the show also include following us on Twitter. We're at PokemonPodCB. And you can find us individually on Twitter. Oh, we do have a review. So let me do that before we go through all of that. Okay. From Present Kecleon. I am physically present. Well, I just recently discovered this amazing podcast and I binged all the episodes over the last 2 weeks while at work. I've always liked Pokemon, but this podcast has revived my passion for the franchise. It has inspired me to go back and replay some of the games and even finish watching Sun and Moon so I can start Journeys. Speaking of, y'all have really done Go dirty. Hot take, Go is actually a good character. Sure, he's made mistakes, but he's also like 10. He deserves a little slack. Also, Christian's description of Kecleon, a Pokemon that exists, made me think that it's the kind of Pokemon that if it was a co-host of a podcast would introduce itself with each episode simply by saying, I am physically present. Well, like Kecleon and Christian, you guys can count me to be physically present for future episodes. Great podcast.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. Well, with that said, we're going to call it a day, and we hope you guys tune in to us next week. Like I said, we stream live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. across the pond, and catch us on Twitter. I'm at Jim Biscardi.
And I'm at Seahawk or Seabus.
And I'm going to keep opening up some packs as the week progresses. I'll post them up on a Pokemon Pod CB Twitter account. Hopefully we'll get some good ones, and we'll open up some more packs next week. And then maybe I think I may pick up one of the Elite Trainer boxes. And so if I do, maybe we'll do a separate breaking on Twitch for that. And we'll let you guys know and give you plenty of notice. So until next time, folks, we'll catch you later.